Good morning. Glad you're able to join in hearing God's word today. First of all, I have to apologize, especially for those of you who are nearing the end of the school year. My guess is that you don't want to be reminded of school in any way, shape, or form. So, again, I have to give you my apologies, but if you've ever taken a physics class, you are probably familiar with what's called Newton's third law. If you're not familiar with Newton's third law, it goes something like this. Newton's third law, I believe it's from Isaac Newton, says that for every action or force, there is an equal and opposite reaction. In other words, if there's an action, there's going to be a reaction in some way, shape, or form. Applying it not just in the realm of physics, but let's just say in the realm of life in general, we could perhaps say that for every action a person takes, there is a cost or there are consequences of that action. Sometimes the costs or the consequences of that action are pretty clear, pretty obvious, pretty apparent. Sometimes the costs or the consequences of those actions isn't quite so clear, isn't quite so apparent. In fact, there may not even seem to be a cost or consequence. But yet, I would argue, more than likely there is. It may not be apparent, it may not be obvious, but there is a cost. There is a consequence that will happen. In this morning's message, we're going to be continuing a focus of the life of the patriarch Jacob. And if you were with us last week, we touched on the first half of chapter 27, in which we saw a number of actions that individuals took. Isaac, his wife Rebekah, their sons Jacob and Esau, each of them took different actions. And this morning, as we conclude chapter 27, we're going to see the consequence, or you could see the reaction that takes place from those actions that we saw last week. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Genesis. We're going to be looking at chapter 27, verses 18 to 46. And before we look at today's message, let me open us in prayer. Father God, I pray, Lord, that as we hear your word preached, as we read your word, God, that it would be your voice that we hear, your voice that we seek, Lord. God, give us clarity, give us open, not just open ears, but open hearts, Father, to clearly hear what you want to say to us, Father, to impress upon our hearts and our hands, Lord, in how we live our lives so that it not just reflects you, but brings praise and glory to you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we live our lives, Lord, that we are aware of the actions that we are taking, or maybe the inaction, non-action, and how they have consequences, Lord. Having wisdom, having discernment, having insight so that the consequences, Lord, would bring glory to you, Father. We thank you, pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, why don't we turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 27. And we're going to look, first of all, at the fallout that had happened to Isaac. And we're going to be looking at verses 18 to 29 first. We talked about how last week there was a fallout in terms of Isaac because he had been fooled or made to look foolish. And now we're going to see what takes place after that. Verses 18 to 29. Let me read that. So when he went to his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who are you?" This is Jacob, and he is pretending to be his brother Esau. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you really are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to his father Isaac, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him and said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be anyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." If you were here last week, Rebecca had told Jacob that Esau was about to be blessed by his father Isaac. And while Esau is away looking for game, looking for a kill to prepare for his father, Rebecca tells Jacob to pretend to be his brother Esau in order to get the blessing. You see, Isaac, his eyesight is failing him. He can't really see. And so Rebecca dresses Jacob in the garments that Esau normally would wear in order to fool Isaac. And that's why we talked about how Isaac is made to look foolish. Because, one, he's unable to see clearly. And they are, Rebecca and Jacob, are taking advantage of the fact that, in other words, Isaac is handicapped. They're actually making him look even foolish. Isaac himself can barely see. He can't even look or see clearly. And Rebecca and Jacob are taking full advantage of that fact. Jacob is pretending to be Esau. They are making a mockery of Isaac. In the conversation between Isaac and Jacob, he asks Jacob specifically, "Are you Esau?" Or, "Who are you?" And Jacob says emphatically, "I am Esau." And he even says to his father, when his father asks him, "How did you get the game so quickly? How did you find the kill so quickly?" He accounts it to, in verse 20, to "God having granted him favor. He evokes the name of the Lord. It demonstrates, I believe, the coldness of heart demonstrated by Jacob and his willingness to do what is necessary in order to get the blessing. In order to, in other words, make a fool or pretend and fool his father Isaac. Jacob and his mother Rebecca are taking full advantage of Isaac's lack of sight. Not only physical sight, but I would also argue on a deeper level, being unable to see the manipulation and the cunning and craftiness that is being performed by Jacob and his wife, Rebecca. The fallout for Isaac is that he's made to look foolish. He's made to look like a fool. His position as the head of the household is being absurd, is being turned on its head by his son and his wife. We also talked about last week how there is a fallout, not for just for Isaac, but also for Esau. In verses 30 to 40, we see the result of that fallout for Esau. Let me read, starting in verse 30. It says, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. His father said to Isaac, said to him, who are you? He answered, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. In verses 30 to 40, we see the fallout for Esau, that he loses the blessing, or you could say the favor, and he loses the fortune that is attached to it. And this is a result, you could say, of Esau's short short-sightedness. Yes, Jacob has taken advantage of Esau full well. That is despicable, at the very least, that your own brother would take advantage of you. But Esau is also a party, you could say, to his own loss of fortune and favor. Esau is not without blame. Yes, Jacob fully took advantage of his brother. No doubt about it. But Esau also needs to share some portion of the blame for being short-sighted. As he says that he gave up the birthright to his brother Jacob, which we saw in chapter 25, by being willing to sell that birthright for a pot of stew. No matter how excellent, no matter how delicious, no matter how scrumptious that stew was, I think it's fair to say that it was in no way sense worth giving up the birthright. Esau felt like he was ready to die of hunger and rationalized that the birthright would not be of little value if he died. Now, would he have actually died of hunger? Very unlikely. But Esau, being short-sighted, was still willing to give up the birthright. Now, Esau is outwitted once again by his brother Jacob. When he goes out to look for game or fresh kill so that he could prepare it for his father Isaac. He didn't need to do that. Yes, Isaac asked him, wanted to eat, but he could have perhaps asked to be blessed first. He didn't need to go out and get the kill first and then get blessed. He could have asked to be blessed first, but as it turned out, he lost the blessing to his brother Jacob. Yes, it is Jacob taking advantage of his brother, but Esau, I believe, also needs to accept some responsibility, some blame. We've talked about the fallout for Isaac in being made to look like a fool, even though he is the head of the household. He's been taken advantage of by his son and his wife. We've talked about the fallout for Esau, losing the favor and as well as the fortune to his brother. We now want to talk about the fallout that occurs for Jacob. Jacob also, there's a price to be paid. There's a cost or a consequence that befalls Jacob, even though he's gained both the birthright as well as the blessing. It comes at a cost. Let's read verses 41 to 44. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she went and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away. Until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what he has done. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be afraid of you both in one day? The fallout for Jacob is that in spite of the fact that, yes, he has gained the birthright, yes, he has gained the blessing, but it comes at a tremendous cost. It comes at the anger and the vengeance of his brother, the hatred of his brother Esau. Rightly so, you could argue, because Esau has been taken advantage of once, twice by his brother. Yes, Esau was short-sighted, no doubt about it. Esau bears some responsibility. But yet, his brother has taken full advantage of Esau. And he plans to kill his brother. The fallout for Jacob has been the result of Jacob's own treachery, his own selfishness in wanting to get the blessing, wanting to get the birthright, his focus on only his own needs, his own well-being, instead of caring for his family, caring for his brother, looking out for his brother, rather than only looking out for himself. The fallout is that he loses his family. Not necessarily physically that they die, but emotionally he is forced to flee from them. Physically flee, as well as emotionally being cut off from his brother Esau. He also is physically forced to leave his mother, who he is most aligned with. The cost for Jacob is quite high. And yet perhaps this cost, in his mind, is overshadowed by his gaining of the blessing as well as the birthright. We don't know for sure. The passage doesn't tell us. But one wonders if that is indeed the case for Jacob, that in spite of being forced to leave his family, one wonders if in Jacob's mind it has been worth it. Lastly, we're going to look at the person of Rebecca and the fallout that occurs upon Rebecca. Let's read verses 46. Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I loathe my life because of the Hittite women. If Jacob marries one of the Hittite women like these, one of the women of the land, what good will my life be?" For Rebecca, the fallout for Rebecca is twofold. Not only does she lose her favorite son, Jacob, who is forced to leave the family because of his brother's wrath, his brother's plot, desire to kill him. Not only does she lose her favorite son, the physical presence of her favorite son, but I believe her actions fracture the family. It becomes known that Rebecca despises the wife that Esau has. Not an Israelite, but a Canaanite or a Hittite woman. And she's making it very clear to her husband how she does not want Jacob to also marry a Canaanite or a Hittite woman. But one wonders about her relationship with Isaac as well as with Esau. In the sense of whether or not Isaac or Esau, or perhaps both of them, ever found out who was behind Jacob's move to get the blessing. Because we know, because we've read how Jacob was being directed by his mother, Rebekah, to fool Isaac while Esau was away hunting game. We know, but the question is, does Isaac know? Does Esau know? Can you imagine if Isaac found out that Rebekah was behind Jacob's theft of the blessing? Or if Esau found out that it was his own mother that directed his brother to steal the blessing and the birthright. We don't know. The scriptures do not tell us whether or not Isaac or Esau ever found out the truth. I would imagine if they ever did, that either one of them or both of them would have been extremely upset, extremely saddened, extremely grieved, extremely angry, bitter, saddened by what Rebecca had done, her role in this. But even if they never found out, from Rebecca's standpoint, can you imagine if she didn't tell Isaac or Esau? If instead of telling them, facing the repercussions that would have resulted from that, if instead she buried the truth, she pretended that nothing had happened, that she didn't know, that she was not involved. And while there may have been peace, you could say, because there would be no anger, there would be no desire for vengeance, I think there would have been a separation that would have existed between Rebecca and Isaac, Rebecca and Esau. Because I feel that for any person who knowingly betrays another person and then pretends that they have done nothing wrong, you almost have to place a barrier on yourself and the other person. You have to compartmentalize what has taken place, the truth of what has happened, and keep it in a box. You need to cut it off from the rest of you in order so that it doesn't leak out, so that it doesn't become known. And in a way, when you compartmentalize part of your life, especially in a relationship between a husband and a wife, between a parent and a child, you in essence cut off your relationship with that individual. You are no longer able to fully interact, fully integrate, fully exchange with another person, at least from my perspective, because you have compartmentalized your life. You have no longer allowed another person to enter this section of your life. You are no longer sharing life with one another, or you're only sharing part of life with another person. And so that's why I would say for Rebecca, this is a high cost that she has had to pay. The high consequence, the result of her actions, result of her involvement in this plan, plot to get the blessing. Maybe for some of us, we have made some choices, some decisions that have, while perhaps may not be outright sin, have been questionable. Obviously, if it's something that is against God's will, against God's desire, against God's word, outright sin, for sure, that needs to be rectified. We need to make amends. But perhaps there are some things that are questionable. Maybe walk a very thin line. And yet, in our heart of hearts, we know that it's come at a high cost. Our decision, our choice, has come at an extremely high cost in terms of our relationship with those other people around us. Maybe a spouse, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, maybe even our walk and our relationship with God Himself. Our choices have come at an extremely high cost. And perhaps God is wanting us to recognize that, to make amends for, to repair the damage that has been caused by our choice. Maybe like for Rebecca, if she comes clean, if she ever tells, or maybe perhaps she did tell, we don't know. But if you can imagine her telling Isaac, her telling Esau, her role, as painful as that might be, as difficult as that may be, I believe that would have allowed her on a path of possible reconciliation with her husband and her son. Yes, there would have been hurt. Yes, there would have been anger. Yes, there would have been disappointment. But there would also be the possibility and the probability of forgiveness, grace, and mercy, and a reconciliation or repair of the relationship. Maybe for some of us, we are wanting, are desiring, are needing that restoration, that repair in our relationship with others. But first, it comes with being honest, being open, being forthright with one another. I think when we consider what Christ has done for us on the cross, what God has done for us through Christ, we come away not only with a sense of gratitude, but also a sense of encouragement, a sense of boldness that if God could send His Son to die for us, sinners as we are, deserving of death, that we can also be open and honest with those who we have hurt, who we have harmed. Maybe they're not aware of our role. Maybe they're not in tune with what we have done. But yet, if God could still choose to forgive us, I believe it is possible for those around us to also forgive us, to also extend grace to us. How is God calling you? How is God challenging you? Perhaps how is He comforting you? I pray that you will be humble, honest, open with Him as well as with those around you. Let me pray for us. Father, we look at this family. I look at this family, Isaac, Rebecca, Esau, Jacob. I wonder, I'm amazed at the level of betrayal, deceit, naivety, short-sightedness. But honestly, Lord, I also look at my own life and I see traits and characteristics of the same attributes, the same actions, the same attitudes that each of these individuals has displayed. I may not have done the exact same actions or lack of actions, but yet, Lord, the attitudes are oftentimes very similar. Lord, I also need your grace. I also need your mercy. It's not enough to shake my head and wonder how someone can do this. I know that I'm also capable. I'm also have done many things that are in need of forgiveness, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that really that as we live out our lives, Lord, it is not for our good, but it is for your glory, so that people will see your grace, your mercy in and through us, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sinfulness, that people would come to know you, even in our weaknesses, or especially because of our weakness, they would see your grace and strength. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go and have a blessed day. Hope to see you soon. God bless.